Studio 360.
On today's Studio 360, we are looking at smut in all its forms. Whimsical and mundane, literal and figurative. When booksellers and publishers convened in New York City for their annual Book Expo America in 2012, there was a lot of talk about ebooks, social media, self-publishing, and this strange old-fashioned phenomenon, a printed and bound giant blockbuster that had appeared from out of nowhere. As you probably know, 50 Shades of Grey tells the story of a young woman and the handsome zillionaire she likes to ravish her. The author, E.L. James, first self-published her novel as fan fiction based on the Twilight series. All the vampire and werewolf stuff was deleted, and Vintage Books published it in 2012. And voila, the 50 Shades trilogy soon occupied all the top spots on the New York Times fiction bestseller list for months and months. And already at that first book expo, it seemed like all anybody could talk about.
If you go around to all the booths, everyone has their erotica books featured now. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, most publishers now have an erotic fiction line and are hoping to somehow discover what it is, the magic.
But we're buying a lot more erotica now, yes. And we're seeing that customers are buying it as well. She's made it, you know, erotic fiction socially acceptable.
We have a BDSM novel just about to come out, which is what 50 Shades of Grey is, you know, bondage, sadomasochism.
We're repackaging three of Anne Rice's old novels that she wrote, I think, in like 1983. They're supposed to be pretty crazy erotica.
As an agent, I've received at least six proposals by clients and non-clients about doing a 50 Shades of Grey type book. I think the challenge of doing these types of books is to get them out first. Within the next season or two, we'll see all the books that are derivative of the mothership, so to speak.
The old days, the tried and true way of going through the agent, going through the whole process with every single publisher still exists, obviously, but now there are ways for people to get their books published. At St. Martin's Press, we have published a couple of authors who started with just online chapters.
What we've seen is once the print books actually hit the market, that both the print books and the digital books have been creating demand for each other.
It's made ebooks for mommy porn a lot more of a viable option because mommies can read it whenever and nobody knows what they're reading. So you don't have the cover of the book that shows a bodice ripper that's really embarrassing to read. You can read it and nobody knows what you're reading, and then you go home and have a good time with your husband.
Those were people attending Book Expo America in 2012. Our story was produced by Eric Malinsky. So who were all those millions of people reading 50 Shades of Grey? We dispatched Rebecca Lee Douglas to find out, and she wound up hearing things that she can't unhear. And this should go without saying, but our story includes some explicit sexual content.
Like the sign says, the Strand Bookstore in downtown Manhattan has 18 miles of new, used, and rare books, so it can be hard to pick a title from that crowd. But the 50 Shades trilogy is not hard to find. It's right in the center of the bestsellers table. Saves customers the trouble of asking for it, though some still do.
They fall into two categories. One is the complete gleeful, like, ownership of it, like, where's the dirty book? I want the dirty book.
This is Liz Devoten, a manager at The Strand.
The second category of people is maybe this is their first time buying erotica and it's from a store. So there's a little bit more, I guess, maybe coyness about it. Like, I don't know about this book. I sort of heard about it. 50 Shades of something. And it's, you know, it's sort of adorable. It's like, yes, you know, we have it right here. It's very popular.
Staffers at The Strand are excited about the book. Not just because it's kinky or because it's selling a lot. Kate Garber works on the staff picks here. She says 50 Shades of Grey has created a silent but really useful conversation between the store and its customers.
Like, if someone knows that a staff member is recommending this book and saying, come on, it's okay if you think this is sexy, people will buy it and they love it.
They might very well buy it, love it, and then head down to Soho to Babeland, a woman-owned sex toy shop. Sales have been going up at Babeland since 50 Shades of Grey hit the bestseller list. Conversations about the erotic are a lot more frank here, of course.
We have a big metal rack that has all of our restraints, blindfolds, floggers, paddles, and other assorted sensation toys.
Babeland co-founder Claire Cavanaugh is showing me the BDSM section. That stands for bondage, discipline, and sadomasochism. Cavanaugh says they can't keep BDSM stuff on the shelves now.
It's looking a little sparse, I'm telling you, because so many people are buying things, you know, so quickly, it's hard to keep things in stock.
The store has started workshops on how to use the implements described in 50 Shades, and the classes are so popular they've filled up over a month in advance.
And this you would definitely find in the dungeon in that book. These are floggers. This is a leather, it's a very long one, it's like soft leather on the inside.
Cavanaugh goes on showing me Babeland's toys, sometimes using words like sex positive. It feels like college here. But I'd heard that the main customers driving the sales of 50 Shades are middle-aged women. I needed to find someone older I could talk to about this book. But how?
Hello, Nancy speaking.
Hi, Mom. This is your daughter, Rebecca.
Oh, hi, Rebecca.
I am calling because the other day I talked to you about people who you knew were reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, yeah, the sex trash book, right.
Yes. Let me pause here to say that I had no idea that my mom had read this book. My mom, who's 53 and usually reads historical fiction. What you're about to hear is the most uncomfortable conversation I have ever had with her.
Well, I didn't know that it was perverted and weird and sex trash when I picked it up. I mean, all I heard was number one on the bestseller list. So I picked it up. And then, you know, within like the second chapter, you just see the kinky weirdness of it.
It's actually the seventh chapter, but that's when protagonist Christian Grey brings young Anastasia to his red room of pain to show her all of his devices for flagellating and penetrating. Did you tell Dad about the book?
No! No, I hope he doesn't know it.
Did you enjoy reading it? Was it, like, a fun read for you?
Well, it was kind of interesting. I did learn a lot of things I didn't know.
Yeah, like, what did you learn?
I mean, there were all sorts of, you know, devices and things I knew nothing about before, so.
Okay, what are the devices that you know about now?
Oh, my gosh. Well, like the butt plugs. I mean, these things I had no idea were out there. I think I'll avoid, but.
Yeah, we kept discussing the book, but I was dying inside. Interviewing total strangers at bookstores and sex toy shops is fine, but my mom and I have barely ever talked about sex. I thought it was because she was the prude. Okay. All right. Thanks, Mom.
Okay, honey. Love you. Bye.
That story was produced by Rebecca Lee Douglas.